Good morning. You've already heard reference several times that this is today's affectionately known as Good Shepherd Sunday. There will be lots of sermons across the United States today about sheep and shepherds, but not here, not today, although it will be somewhat similar. Written in 1934 by Tex Owens during a Kansas City snowstorm, the song Cattle Call later became a staple for cowboy crooner Eddie Arnold. Any Eddie Arnold fans out there? There we go. There we go. The cattle are prowling, the coyotes are howling way out where the doggies bawl, where spurs are a-jingling, a cowboy is singing this lonesome cattle call. Sorry, Eddie. When I was growing up in West Texas, cattle ranching was the main industry. Most of my friends were sons of cattle ranchers, and one of my best friends, John Lane, his family had a ranch, and I would often go out and work cattle with them, and we would go feed during the winter months when there was less grass. We would drive into the canyons with big bags of feed in the back of the truck, and John would pour that feed into the trough, and then he would begin the cattle call. And it's different for ranchers everywhere, but he would do this all somewhat like that, but way better. And the cattle from all, they were scattered, they would begin to come in. Just like it says, the sheep hear my voice. Well, the cattle hear someone's voice too. And if I did it, the cattle weren't going to come because I didn't sound like the familiar voice of the Lanes there at Twin Peaks Ranch. And so the cattle would come up because they knew the feed was there. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, I already answered it in part, but why do the cattle come when they're called? Well, they know there's grain. There's feed. They know they're going to be fed with something better than the bits of dry grass, which they're looking for all across the mountainside. They hear the cattle call, and they know that something good is over there. And so they go. I want you to hear one more piece of scripture this morning. You'll recognize it. It's a familiar passage from Matthew. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, Christ's cattle call to us, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. There's something good here. There's food here to nourish you. Come over. I don't have to tell you, we're familiar with the pressures that living in today's context brings us. Everything is, it's do it faster, more efficiently, make fewer mistakes. We've been conditioned to be as proactive as possible to circumvent potential failure, not only for ourselves, but in our jobs. We try to circumvent potential failure for our children, all the while straining with the constant flow of information that is coming towards us, some of which may be applicable, but then we have to do the work to figure out which is applicable to us and which is not real. It's wearying work. And it never stops. Well, if you set all of that within a Christian faith, which often can begin to mirror these ladders of progress and productivity and efficiency of achievement, vigilance to our personal piety, I suspect that we can end up feeling heavy laden, that we've been laboring. And in fact, that Matthew context is about religious burden. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. The drive to do it well. And not only the drive to do it well, but to do it with a smile on your face. Right? Plenty of energy, for everybody. Well, it leaves us feeling hollow. Or as Bilbo Baggins from The Lord of the Rings says, I feel thin, sort of stretched like butter scraped over too much toast. I'd say that's pretty accurate for so many people today. We're stretched thin with everything coming to us. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Listen to my call to you and find rest for your souls. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the late author Brennan Manning. He's one of the instrumental figures in my life that got me on a path of more kind of health within my faith journey. I want to share a quotation of his to you, for you, with you. He says, for those who feel their lives are a grave disappointment to God, it requires enormous trust and reckless, raging confidence to accept that the love of Jesus Christ knows no shadow of alteration or change. When Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, he assumed we would grow weary, discouraged, and disheartened along the way. These words are a touching testimony to the genuine humanness of Jesus. He had no romantic notion of the cost of discipleship. He knew that following him was as unsentimental as duty and as demanding as love. I think what Brennan is telling us is all of this stuff that's happening to us, there's no easy button to get out of it. Discipleship is tough. To step out of the flow of all of these constant demands and actually live a life centered in rest is countercultural and counterintuitive. And that's the work of discipleship, this self-awareness to rely on Christ. Again, why do the cattle or sheep come when they're called? Because they know they will be fed. The shepherd's call, they know that there's something good for them over there. Today our psalm would have been Psalm 23. What's good over there? The green pastures, the still waters, protection, guidance, rest. I want to conclude with just a quick story. Over my years of ministry, I've heard more times than I can count this phrase. I just want to be a tool used by God. I want to be used by God. And I have even said that a number of times myself. In fact, many well-meaning folks have said to me, you know, Malone, you're being used as a tool by God to touch so many lives. And I do understand the sentiment and the complimentary intent. But the words themselves reveal a misunderstanding about the nature of our God, about his character. That statement is more about a utilitarian God than the God of relationship, the God of love and respect that we see in Jesus. The dictionary defines a tool as a device or implement used to work by hand or machine to perform a task, something that helps to gain an end. If I were to ask our drummer, Dennis, what his relationship is with his drums, what it looks like, do you confide your hopes and aspirations with your cymbals or tell your drumsticks your deepest secrets? Well, I suspect he would look at me like I'm crazy, exactly like he just did. He yells at them. He would say, I don't have a relationship with this tool, with these drums. Exactly. If God uses us, then we're nothing but objects and commodities to God. Even in our human relationships, we know this is wrong, right? None of us want to feel used by somebody else, that we're a means to an end for something. I bring that up because that's why I think this scripture from Matthew and Good Shepherd, the understanding of the Good Shepherd, it all ties in together. Our God is not utilitarian, just looking to use us. Have we forgotten that we are God's children and not tools? That's a serious question I think we should all ponder. Have we forgotten that we are God's children and not tools? God does love us, and He invites us to participate in the beauty of His creation. And yes, sometimes we participate in a way that it is helpful for somebody. But that is not why we exist, to be used. We exist, as within our familial and friendship relationships, to have relationship, to enjoy relationship. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." I know you can feel used by society, by our culture, by business, sometimes by your family, but I don't want you to feel that you are used by me. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Listen to my cattle call. I will give you rest." Amen.